Every story has a beginning, so let's go back to January 1918, when John Martin, the superintendent of Baltimore's Telephone and Signal Division, first obtained his position as a lineman with the Baltimore Police Department. At that time, there was a lieutenant and a sergeant acting as the superintendent and assistant superintendent of the Telephone and Signal Division, with five linemen. They used one truck and two touring cars for construction and maintenance of the entire system. The equipment to be maintained was 265 call boxes, 8 telephone switchboards, 800 Bluestone gravity batteries, 15 bank alarms, 4 pawnbroker alarms, 8 station houses, and approximately 181,665 feet of underground telephone cable. This was before the addition of the Southeast District, which didn't come until about 1958-59. Along with the then 8 other districts, there was all of this equipment which, to the best of Superintendent Martin's knowledge, had been in service for 25 to 30 years before 1918, and was still operating reasonably well while he was directing the division. This would have been circa 1922. At that time, except for the timestamps and registers, which were all printed with ink and at times would be impossible to define one call box number from another, as the ink was known to smear and spread over the recorded tape. In the year 1921, 36 years after the introduction of the first call box, General Charles Gaither had an idea that would be implemented, making the call box a much better piece of equipment for communications with the officers on patrol and station houses all over the city. From the advent and installation of a signal light, this took place, it would later come to be known as the recall light. The first of these magic blinking lights, as they were known, was mounted on a call box in the Central District, located on the southeast corner of Baltimore and Charles Streets. The signal was made up of an electric light bulb, a wash basin to shade the bulb and protect it from the elements such as rain, snow, animals, and other types of debris. Along with the lamp and wash basin was a marine lens or globe. The mechanism for the operation of this light was located in the old Central Police Station on Saratoga Street near Charles Street. It consisted of an alarm clock to provide the flashing apparatus. Gaither wanted a way for his officers to more quickly pass along information about wanted suspects or wanted persons that might be fleeing police, so we could virtually shut down their escape route. While contemplating this problem, he was also working on an issue that dealt with traffic control. One of the things that he started working on almost immediately after his taking the oath of Baltimore's first solo police commissioner. It seems from all documents and newspaper reports that Gaither's first significant project was one that caused a little anger within the community. It was a project in which he ended the semaphore stations at several intersections that produced such pushback from the neighborhoods affected that he had to rethink his take and, in fact, admit he was wrong. He quickly reinstituted those corners, giving back their traffic control stations. He was a general in the National Guard and knew how to turn what seemed like a failure to many into his looking successful for listening to the community, giving them what they wanted and what they needed. So, where many would have lost faith, because he made it seem as if he was ready to listen, and not just bring it back, but bring it back better than it was before. He gained faith and built a closer alliance with the neighborhoods he served. Because of the success of this, a universal traffic light system would be established across the country using the same color codes with an automatic traffic lamp system. General Gaither was opposed to a two-color traffic light system and went up against several other cities, many of which were considered as strong opposition. Aside from those cities, he was also going up against the National Chiefs of Police Association. But Gaither had well-researched ideas, and the National Safety Board, those that initially issued the Green Safe Drivers Awards officers used to get in patrol, Gaither wanted a third color. In analyzing the semaphore system, he talked to officers that worked these corners, he sat back and observed the men working intersections, and he realized the need for a third phase in the lighting. Gaither knew without a third lamp, we would have vehicles turning left stranded in the intersection, as well as pedestrians in the crosswalk at risk of being struck or without a right of way. So, he fought for, and eventually along with many others obtained that third phase, amber light. This would become important to the recall light because, with these lights in mind, he had a problem with a much-needed cure. So, he began blending the two problems, and then came an aha moment. He was a new commissioner, and in learning about the current systems, he happened upon a blinking light system already in use. At the time, lamps hung outside most of Baltimore's financial institutions, including banks, pawn shops, and some jewelry stores, so when a robbery was taking place, someone inside would trip a switch activating the blinking light outside. Police would see the flashing light alerting them to the trouble inside. We have a similar system to this today, at some of the parking garages downtown. With this, police would have been notified and a perimeter would be set up to catch the suspects as they were leaving. Gaither realized this was the concept he needed, but on a much larger and much more complicated scale. What the department needed, unlike the banks, pawn shops and jewelers that had just one bank with one switch connected to one lamp outside the one location in question. We would need a similar system, connected to 8 station houses each with as many as 30 to 35 call boxes each with its own light. These boxes and lights would be spread out across the 7 or 8 districts throughout the city at the time. With a single operator flipping a switch causing a lamp to blink at one of the nearly 270 call boxes to notify that one patrolman on his post that he was needed right then and right there. The first recall light was put into place in September of 1922. This first lamp was painted green to match the existing call boxes, lamp posts, and other city-owned properties. Like most everything painted by the city having an intent to both save money and blend in with the surroundings, it was a dark green, a little darker than Kelly green, but lighter than forest green. I think it is best described by many as a dumpster green. When a patrolman was wanted, the lamp above his call box would flash, and it continued to blink until the telephone inside the box was removed from its hook. The lenses, or globes on the first recall lights, like the boxes, were also green. This came as a result of the department using salvaged parts from our marine unit, radio shop, and other bits and pieces being retrieved throughout various units within the department at the time. But a problem that was noticed almost right away and would have to be corrected was that Gaither didn't want red or green globes. We ended up using both at one time or another, but through Gaither's eyes he knew both would cause problems. We have to remember the commissioner at the time was working on the traffic light system and didn't want anyone from a distance confusing the recall lamp with a traffic lamp. Some might be confused, so they eventually passed on red and green but went with an amber lens. Coming from the guy that was fighting for an amber light on the new traffic light system, this might seem odd. But, anyone that has seen an amber recall light might describe it as brown, while we all know anyone describing an amber traffic light would call it a yellow light.